Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. It's lovely to see you all. Come on in. This particular Sunday, as we lead into Easter week, a holy week, we're thinking of Palm Sunday and our Lord Jesus' triumphant entrance into Jerusalem. We'll hear further of that in our readings and in our Bible teaching time. But good morning. Welcome to church, everyone. We trust you are well and continuing to keep safe and encouraged. And a special welcome to our young people who are with us this morning. And they'll be going off a bit later in the service to Kids Church and join us later on for our final song. For those listening in to us online, welcome. My name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the Senior Minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. Welcome to you, especially those of Chiswick Manor and Bayswood Water Gardens. We here at Abbotsford Anglican are a group of local people of all ages, shapes and sizes, who have come to find meaning and purpose for life by living at life God's way, according to his word, the Bible. And we invite you to know God with us. Involved in our service today is David, and who'll be leading most of the service with us. Simon will be reading the Bible to us, and Fiona will lead us in prayers. And our musos are Adele on keyboard, and Rosemary and Linda are our song leaders. Thank you. Well, this morning we continue our Bible teaching through the Gospel of Luke, being reminded of the things that Luke wanted us to be certain of that we have been taught regarding Jesus and from the Bible. And today we're thinking about, well, why did Jesus go to the cross? Why is he does the things that we remember here on Palm Sunday? Each month we have a mission focus and a particular focus on an agent of Anglican care. And so this month of April, we're focusing on the ministry of to Thailand through the Thomas family with InterServe, and Fiona will pray for them. Likewise, she'll pray for members of the Anglican Defence Force who are chaplains, and we'll be praying for them. Let me pray this prayer, and I invite you to join with me quietly as we think on the things of God, as we gather as his people. Heavenly Father, this time with you and your people is always special. Take our anxious thoughts and let us know your peace, your presence, and your power. May we listen to your word with expectation, engage in what we pray and say, and worship you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, the very first of our songs we'll be singing twice today. It's a new one, which we'll sing on Good Friday as well. And it reminds us that God's grace towards us in Christ Jesus is strong enough. And so I think what the musos are going to do is sing it to us to start with and then invite us to stand and sing with them. Thanks, Rosemary. Thanks, Linda.
So we're going to sing through the song because it is new for everybody. It's something that we'll be reflecting on as we go through today's service and also into Good Friday next week. So we're going to sing just the first verse and the chorus part for you. There is a bridge in this, as most of our new modern songs have, but you will pick that up pretty quickly as we go along. So we won't sing that bit, but we'll just do the choruses and the verse for you.
Came down to seek and save the lost, were found, and the dead were raised. Seated.
Well, from this time now, our kids will be going off to kids' church, and they'll be actually doing the same Bible teaching that we'll be doing in our teaching time together. But before they do go, just turn around to the people nearby you and just COVID safely wave to them again and just say, good morning, welcome to church. It's lovely to see you. And at home, just do so for those who are gathering with you safely there at home. If you're not well, we trust that you'll recover soon. The Lord be with you indeed. I'll pray for the kids, if that's all right, just before they go. And for you all, hang on a tick. That's great. Loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege it is to have children amongst us. And we do thank you that seeing children, they remind us to have a faith that's childlike, that simply and trustingly in you, dear God. We pray for them as they go. We thank you for our Sunday club teachers, kids' church teachers, and their willingness to teach them and help us in our discipling of the children. We pray that they may grow to love the Lord Jesus as we have come to, and we ask it in his name. Bye, kids. See you later, all right? Come and join us for some morning tea, refreshment, and kicking a soccer ball later on out in the backyard, out in the playground. I'm going to hand over to David now to lead us in the rest of our service. Thanks, David.
Thanks, Trevor. Let me encourage us with a reminder for why we meet together with these words from Hebrews 12. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. It's a call of perseverance while we trust in Jesus as our focal point. We have a lot to be thankful to God for, so please spend a moment reminding yourself of two or three things this morning that you are especially thankful for, and then we'll join together in a prayer of thanks to our bounteous and generous Father. So let me give you a couple of moments to just think of two or three things to be thankful for this morning. Let's join together in this prayer. Gracious God, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given to us, for life and health and safety, for power to work, leisure to rest, and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour, Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Before we hear Simon read our Bible passages for today, I'm going to pray for us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Open our hearts to receive your word, that we may know you better and be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Today's Bible reading is Luke chapter 19, verse 28 to 48. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at a hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, the owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread the cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, and now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children, within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. When Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out those who were selling. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it because all the people hung on his words. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Simon. Please keep your Bibles open there at Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, there beginning at verse 28, or in your news and notes letters, you should have that printed out for you as well, and a little space there to take some notes of things that God guides you to keep as a means of reference and remembrance of encouragement today. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word, the Bible. And we do thank you, Father, that you teach us through your word as your Spirit guides us. Please help me to teach your word correctly, and may we experience your Spirit guiding us into truth. And we ask this in Jesus' name, that we may be encouraged, certain of the things we have been taught of you from it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're coming to the end of our sermon series through Luke's Gospel, and to a kind of climax of the gospel as well. We've been taught and know that the reason for Luke writing this gospel was that his readers may be certain of the things that they have been taught. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that they have been fulfilled amongst us. Luke begins his gospel, just as they were handed down to us by those from the first who were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided, says Luke, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may be certain of the things that you have been taught. So the reason for Luke writing his gospel is that you and I and readers would be certain of the things that we have been taught regarding Jesus and his coming amongst us, what we learn of him from the scriptures, from the Bible. Well, so far we've learnt that Jesus is not the son of Joseph. He is the son of God, a child born of the Virgin Mary, whose person and mission was announced by angels and welcomed by the lowly and the mighty alike. "Do not be afraid," said the angels to the shepherds. "I bring you good news, great news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, our Saviour, a rescuer, has been born to you. He is the Messiah, God's promised perfect King, the Lord. Glory to God in the highest," the angels went on to heaven, "and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." As a man, Jesus identified himself with us in every way, yet without sin. And as God in the flesh, he came uniquely with all the authority of God, taking on the Old Testament prophetic title for himself, the Son of Man, to demonstrate and to confirm to those who witnessed it his God-given authority, demonstrated over evil that we've seen, over sickness, over nature, over people calling them to follow him, and over death itself, and over sin, which only God could do to forgive sins. Why? Well, as Luke says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." The lost to God. Have you ever thought of that? That we were once lost to God. It's a helpful way to actually describe what not only the sons of Abraham, like Zacchaeus that we learnt last week, the Jews, God's people, had become, but what we, all of us, had become. Lost to God. Lost to all that is of benefit to belonging to God. His wisdom of knowing right from wrong, his grace to do that which is right by him, ourselves and others, unable to be found by ourselves, so lost that we're even unaware of the predicament that we were in. Lost to God we were once. Without intervention, our state of being in regard to God and things eternal would have been hopeless. God, good as dead, we were. Not that God was negligent in losing us, that he lost us one day, but that we by nature, like sheep, have gone our own way and we've strayed from him. We've become lost to God. But as we have heard and read, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. How? Why was his coming the climax of Luke's gospel? And we come to that now, or almost there. Our reading this morning heightens that anticipation. Come with me to our reading. Look at there in front of you. Turn with me to Luke 19, verse 28 there. That's before you. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And the feeling we get is one of determination and anticipation. Verse 28 says there, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. Now, we who are familiar with this account and know why we remember this day as significant is that we know what lies ahead for Jesus. We know that the cross lies before Jesus and his own death is where he's going to. Do you admire with me those who, knowing that they are dying, and yet they face those days bravely? They want to make the most of every moment, every second, every day that they have with us, to make the most for us, for our benefit, so that when they are gone, in their absence, we might be ones left with help and with hope. Or looking at it a different way, we would be ones left not without help and without hope. You may know someone like that in your past, or you may know someone like that very much in your present at this moment. Jesus knew what lay ahead for him, and he knew what it meant for him and for others, the lost, those whom he had come to seek and to save. Despite knowing what was ahead facing him in Jerusalem and the days that were left for him here on earth, he made the most of the opportunities that he had there to plan the events, so that things would be known for our benefit in his absence. Well, what things? What things to be known? To be certain of at this time? Well, Luke records 9 things in this little passage here before us today. The first is that by organising for himself to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey was no fluke thing to have done, no just all out of the blue something to do. He was deliberately teaching those who were there and us who were reading that he wanted the people to know that he is the Messiah, that he is the promised Christ of the Old Testament. He is the promised perfect King of God as prophesied of him in the past. We can read in Zechariah verses 9-9, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. Sing, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." First thing here why Luke records this account for us and Jesus plans these events is that the readers, we and those there, might be certain that Jesus himself knew himself to be the Messiah, the Christ, the one who could and can and would seek out and save the lost. And he's teaching them this visually to them by fulfilling the scriptures at this point. Secondly, that he had come to bring peace. Look there at verse 38. Peace with God and an end to being lost to God. Okay? Thirdly, we'll go through these reasonably quickly. Thirdly, verse 9, that when challenged and rebuked by the teachers of the law there as to allowing himself to be recognized by the crowd there as the Messiah, the people there are crying out to him, "You are the Messiah, the Christ." Those who were there present rebuking Jesus, tell him to be silent. What we're being told here, what Jesus says in his little things, is saying, look, you can't deny the truth. The truth is that he is the Messiah, and dead things like stones would proclaim it to be true, all right? It's a reassurance here, and again, Jesus reminding us of the certainty, the things that Jesus is teaching us. Even the stones, they would not be able to keep quiet if everyone else was silent. They would proclaim him to be the Messiah. And Jesus is endorsing that. Fourthly, that he grieved. Jesus grieves for those who don't get it. Verses 41 to 44. For judgment would come and came on Jerusalem for those who refused to believe. The time is now to take hold of the truth that is before them. The King has come. Fifthly, that in him God had come to us. Look there at verse 44 there, the saying there that God had come amongst them. Jesus is saying, look, I'm God in the flesh here amongst you as well. We could be certain. Six, there in verse 35, on arrival in Jerusalem, Jesus our Lord continued to demonstrate his God-given authority, driving out those who were making a mockery of God's temple and its purpose, demonstrating his God-given authority as the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Messiah, the one who's come to seek and save the lost, as it was written it would in Isaiah 56:7 and Jeremiah 7:11. And lastly, eight, despite those planning his death in the background, all this going on, he continued to teach. He continued to make known until the time of his choosing for his death on Passover, that all might be certain in his absence of the things we have been taught and learnt of him. He would determine when he would die and rise again. I cannot help but admire that despite what Jesus knew lay ahead of him and for him in the week ahead and what we are remembering in this week coming up, that the cross was before him, the punishment and the atonement for our sin, to bring us peace with God. He faced those days on our behalf bravely and confidently. He was seeking to make the most of the time for the benefit of us, that we might know that he knew himself to be God's promised Messiah, God's perfect King, that he'd come to bring peace, peace with God, peace with us, to seek and to save the lost. That this truth cannot be denied. That he grieves for those who don't get it. But despite their failure, the truth is that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of Man who had come with all God's authority amongst us. This he wanted known and taught and caused to be known and taught even unto his own death. Going to Jerusalem, going to the cross, was to save the lost. Certain of these things, left without hope, Left without help and hope, we are not. Such grace indeed. Let me pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for sending your Son Jesus into the world. We do thank you, Jesus, for willingly coming amongst us. We do thank you that in these days leading up to the cross, knowing what was before you, you willingly and confidently and bravely went ahead, taking the most of every opportunity to continue being faithful unto your Father for our benefit and your glory. And we gather this week in remembrance and we say a deep, deep thank you for your amazing love and your amazing grace towards us. May it inspire us, Father, this week to be certain that these things that we have been taught from your word are true and live accordingly. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Trevor. It's amazing to think that Jesus was so in control that even at that time he was planning so many events to make himself known. And if you're here today and you still feel lost, feel free to speak to someone around you or Trevor afterwards. And we've seen recently the amazing stories of what Jesus does for us to make sure that we're found and can be found by him. As we've been doing the last few weeks, we're reading a stanza together from Psalm 119, and today we're reading verses 73 to 80, which is a call for each of us to take God's word into our lives. And what you'll notice as we read it is the importance of being soaked in God's word and how that appears throughout the reading. The psalmist talks of learning God's commands, of the hope we have in his word. Reminds us that God, that his laws are righteous and calls on us to meditate on his precepts, to understand his statutes and to follow his decrees. So let's stand together and say this together. Your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding to learn your commands. May those who fear you rejoice when they see me. For I have put my hope in your word. I know, Lord, that your laws are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. May your unfailing love be my comfort, according to your promise to your servant. Let your compassion come to me, that I may live, for your law is my delight. May the arrogant be put to shame for wronging me without cause. But I will meditate on your precepts. May those who fear you turn to me, those who understand your statutes. May I wholeheartedly follow your decrees, that I may not be put to shame. Amen. So please stay standing and we'll sing our next song together. Jesus is enough for us on so many different levels, and we'll emphasise that truth for ourselves now by singing again, Your Grace is Strong Enough.
Grace came down to seek and save the lost world.
Grace so strong it burns.
Although we are the people of God, Scripture reminds us that we still sin. We need to confess our failures, knowing that the Lord Jesus died for us and intercedes for us with the Father. Let us draw near to God, who freely forgives through his infinite goodness and mercy, and pray to him with sincerity and confidence. So please, let's all pray this together. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and trust in his Son as Saviour and Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And Fiona's going to continue on in general prayers. Thank you, Fiona.
Lord God, you are the surprise from whom all discoveries grow. You are the delight from whom each victory, of whom each victory sings. The joy to whom all lasting pleasures flow. The search out of whom all science springs. The truth who surfaces when all seems lost. The love who will not count the cost. Creating God, high above our understanding, we worship your mystery. Redeeming God, deep beyond our deserving, we worship your mystery. Inspiring God, near beyond our knowing, we worship your mystery. Amen. And again we say, Amen. O Lord and Maker of all things, from whose creative power the first light came forth, who looked upon the world's first morning and saw that it was good. We praise you for this light that now streams through our windows. Thank you, Lord, for the life of another day. We praise you for the life that stirs within us. We praise you for the bright and beautiful world into which we go. We praise you for the earth and sky and sea, for scudding clouds and singing birds. We praise you for the work you have given us to do. We praise you for all that you have given us to fill our leisure hours. We praise you for our friends. We praise you for music and books and good company and all pure pleasures. Lord God, you yourself are everlasting mercy. Please give us tender hearts today towards all those for whom the morning light brings less joy than it may bring to me. Those in whom the pulse of life grows weak. Those who must lie in bed through all the sunny hours. The blind who are shut off from the light of the day. The overworked who have no joy of leisure. The unemployed who have no joy of labour. The bereaved whose hearts and homes are desolate. We ask you would grant your mercy on them all. O light that never fades, as the light of day now streams through these windows and floods this church, may each one of us open to you the windows of our heart, that all our lives may be filled by the radiance of your presence. Let no corner of our beings be unillumined by the light of your countenance. Let there be nothing within us to darken the brightness of your truth. May the spirit of him whose life was the light of men rule within our hearts till eventide. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We now just have a quiet moment to silently bring before God those whom we know are struggling or suffering or burdened in some way. Thank you, God. You hear our unspoken prayers as well as our spoken prayers. And we thank you for your good answers that are always best. We pray, Heavenly Father, you would have mercy on this broken and divided world. We pray for wisdom for world leaders in the best way to respond to the Ukraine disaster. We thank you for the extraordinary courage of Ukraine's leader and peoples. We long for relief for the common people in Myanmar living under oppressive military rule. Please restore justice and peace soon. Father, there is turmoil in so many other nations that we're not even aware of. but you are fully aware and it grieves you deeply. Sovereign Lord, please make your ways of love and truth known to them. We thank and praise you, Father, for the ways you have worked through Queen Elizabeth for many, many decades. Thank you that she has been led by your Spirit and protected by your power. Thank you she has sought to serve with integrity and has walked closely with you. We ask you to continue to give wisdom to her ministers, especially our Prime Minister Scott Morrison, the Leader of the Opposition Anthony Albanese, for Dominic Perrottet, and for all our Ministers of Parliament. May the affairs of Australia be determined and settled on the best and surest foundations, so that this may be a nation built on justice and truth. May Australia be a blessing to other nations and bring great glory to you. We ask, O Lord, that you would continue to work powerfully through the worldwide church. Help us hold firmly to your truth. Help us strive for unity and hold out the words of life to a dying world. Please work powerfully through our Archbishop, Kanishka Raphael, through our bishops, including Michael Stead, and our ministers, Trevor and Karen. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Loving Father, we thank you for the work of InterServe and our link missionaries, Jessica and Shine Thomas with Oswin and Tamim. We ask for your ongoing comfort and presence with Shine in an unmistakable way after the recent death of his father. We also long that more spiritually lost in Chiang Mai would come to have our living Lord Jesus as their personal Lord and Saviour. As the Thomases prepare to visit Australia, we ask for a smooth transition. May their time in Australia be mutually encouraging for both them and their supporters. Lord God, we also pray for Defence Force chaplains. Thank you that they have a voice in this challenging space. May they listen well, have the right word in season, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Please, Father, use these chaplains to grow your kingdom, to encourage those who are already believers of our Lord Jesus, and to challenge those who are spiritually lost. May all the forces serve according to the international conventions of war signed by Australia with integrity and courage. We thank you for the ways they do serve our nation, and we praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Join with me in our said prayer for today. Let's pray for a closer union with Christ in his passion together. Almighty and ever-living God, you've given the human race Jesus Christ, our Saviour, as a model of humility. He fulfilled your will by becoming man and giving his life on the cross. Help us to bear witness to you by following his example of suffering. And make us worthy to share in his resurrection. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Well, as you came in this morning, you would have received the news and notes. And particularly what I'd like to draw your attention to is the flyer with inside, the Easter service little handout that's there. Well, I hope and pray that we might think on one or two people for whom we might invite to our Easter services this coming Friday at 9:30 and on Sunday at 9:30 as well. We do hope that that goes favourably with you. Pray accordingly, and if you would like more, there will be more available at the back table or as you leave today. Also, this month's edition of Southern Cross can be accessed online through the website. Information about the Anglican Church and the work of God through us Or you can take a copy yourself, and it's on the back table, and again as you leave, as you go from church today. Also, just again, thank you for those who are volunteering for next month, next term, in regards to in different ways in which you can serve. The list is at the back of the church on the table. If you're able to do so, Janice will be very happy about that. After church today, please stay for morning tea and refreshments. Again, COVID safely. Just take your coffee, go out into the playground, kick a ball with the kids, say hello as well. Watch your coffee and tea at the same time, and continue the fellowship after church, remembering what we've learnt today and maybe sharing with each other some point of encouragement that you gain from what you've heard, either from the scriptures or in song in our time of gathering this morning. Also, if you would like prayer after church today, Fiona and Tony are up the front here to pray with you for whatever needs that you might have. And Dick, we wish you a most happy birthday coming up in the week ahead. I think I've just been told, if I may, you are 90 years young this week. We give you... Let me pray for Dick and all our gentlefolk for whom it set such a good example for us to follow. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for Dick and his love for Jesus, and we thank you for your love for him. We thank you for the years that you've given to him, firstly for knowing Christ as his Lord and Saviour, and the assurance that you've given to him through his testimony of life and word. He encourages us as well who are in fellowship with him. And we pray for all our gentlefolk, dear God. We thank you for their faithfulness. They're running before us towards meeting you, dear Jesus, encouraging us to follow with them and to look forward to that day ahead for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hand it back to David just to finish our service off tonight. Thank you, David. Thank
you. Let's stand and encourage each other with the words of the creed together. So please stand. Do you believe in God the Father? We believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in God the Son? We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So please stay standing, and we're going to sing again by coming before Jesus our King, who is rightly Lord over all. And at a time in the church calendar when we recall Jesus' death and resurrection, let's enjoy singing together, "Crown Him with Many Crowns." remain standing and let's say this prayer to prepare together to prepare us for the week ahead. So together. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for being here. Have a lovely week ahead.